Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This is KSJE's DJ for a Day event, starting off with our DJ for a Day Monday with the Tony and Boomer Show. San Juan College President Dr. Tony Hopper Pendergrass and Vice President of Student Services Dr. Boomer Appleman are in our visual radio studio this afternoon. And welcome to both of you. It's great to have you back for the Tony and Boomer Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Scott.
Dr. Pendergrass, good to have you here. Dr. Appleman, good to have you here as well.
Pleasure to be here myself.
And this year, though, no music, but we're going to talk a lot about San Juan College and some of the accomplishments here at the college and some of the things that the community has to look forward to in the weeks and months ahead is the plan.
Yes.
And you've both agreed that if folks would like to call in or write a comment on our Facebook page with a question, you'll be both be willing to answer it?
Yes, we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. The meaning of life.
I think there was a discussion, Scott, to be clear. I think there was a discussion.
Yes.
And I don't know that we had consensus, but yes, we will be more than happy to take questions on air.
Very good. And the phone number, if you do want to call us old-fashioned, is 505-566-3909. That's 566-3909 is the phone number here to KSJE. But it's great to have you all here to start off our DJ for a Day event. This is, of course, a week of fundraising opportunities for KSJE because we are a member-supported radio station. So again, thank you both for volunteering your time to come in and do a show for us and with us.
Thank you, Scott.
I appreciate you having us.
Well, it's great to have you both here. So to get things started, I want to ask you a bit about a big event that's coming up with an opening of some new space here that the college has recently acquired with a partnership with the Farmington Municipal School District, and that is the new 30th Street Education Center. Dr. Appleman, is that under your purview? Or?
Well, any time there's a ribbon cutting, you can rest assured that is in the office of the president.
Oh, okay.
I am humble servant.
That's what I wondered. But yes, Dr. Pendergrass, this is happening early December, right?
Yes, on December 3rd, between 3 and 5 p.m., we'll be doing a ribbon cutting and grand opening there at our 30th Street Education Center. So we occupy the second and third floors of the building, and we would love for our entire community to come out and be part of this wonderful event. As many people remember, this building was formerly owned by Hillcorp, and then prior to that by ConocoPhillips. And it's been a great partnership with Farmington Municipal Schools. So we'll have tours of the building, we'll have beverages as well, and I'd love for everyone to come out and see what we have to offer in those buildings.
Very exciting. And I know some departments and some facilities and things that the community is known about is moving to that location from this main campus.
Yes, from our main campus and then what was prior our Burlington building and 30th Street Annex building. So we'll have all of our high school equivalency programs there.
Right.
We'll also have our all of our online offerings, primarily veterinary technology. We'll have our corporate training, workforce development corporate training, what we call our CLC. So that's any of our continuing education department in their courses. We'll have our boardroom and executive session and work session room in that building as well.
Very good. And it's a beautiful building. And I know the real estate folks say location, location, location. And the price, I mean, you almost stole it from the sellers. I mean, you got a really good deal.
It was an excellent deal. And
it was appraised at, I think.
Thanks to our amazing community, it was approved through local bonds to put $5 million towards the renovation of the Burlington building. As many people know, that building was built in the 1950s. And the building that we are able to utilize now and was built in the late 90s. So we were able to get a much newer building and use, you know, just have much more usable square feet.
Right. And a lot of furniture, too, I think, came with the purchase price, right?
Every bit of the furniture is also part of it.
So I think the public will be really impressed when they go and see it. I know I was when I saw the school district floors in that building, the first and third floors. And now with the second and fourth floors, it'll be a full space once again.
Well, actually, the Farmington Municipal Schools has the first and fourth floor,
and we have
the second and third.
Thank you. I forgot what floor I got out of on the elevator.
Oh, no problem. It's kind of confusing.
It is, but it's a beautiful building, and I know the school district employees seem very happy in that space, and I think the school district's happy to have all their folks under one roof.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So that's exciting. So, again, that is coming up. The event is happening on December the 3rd, and we'll get our first look at this new space and on 30th Street, the old Hillcourt building, and prior to that, the ConocoPhillips building, but hope folks will join us from 3 to 5 p.m. that day.
Yes, that'd be great. Everyone is welcome, and we'd love for you to be there.
Ribbon cutting and future board meetings will be held in that new boardroom in that space.
Yes, they will.
That's the plan. Well, very exciting. The other topic I want to ask you about, and Dr. Appleman, I know this is your deal. This is the Luminarias, right? This is student services.
It's
all the way around.
It's a team effort.
That's true.
There's not one part of the campus and the community that isn't involved in developing this. But this is really, and we'll get to the headline. I'm kind of building up some anticipation for
the
audience.
Yeah. I like it.
This is San Juan College's gift back to the community. We're talking about, of course, the Luminarias. When I got here last year, which I've been here about 18 months, when I got here and we started planning, I didn't understand quite the big a deal and the undertaking that it is to put this event on for and with the community. What we're going to do is this is going to be held annually on the first Saturday in December. We expect, now before I go on, this is the 41st year of Luminarias. This is an event that brings in roughly 10 to 12,000 people through the campus to view this event over a four-hour period, roughly depends on how well we can get them through all of the sites. Really, a lot of credit for coordinating this goes to Amanda Robles. She is our director of the Office of Student Engagement and Campus Life. She works with, of course, Chris Harrelson, our physical plant director, as well as Kenny Hibner, Department of Public Safety. Not to mention, I could go on for hours. We would fill the hour with all of the time that goes in there. Hundreds of volunteers from the community and the schools come set these up. Now, this was, I'll be honest with you, this was something new to me that I was unaware of. Now, President Pendergrass probably knows, but there's a special way you have to fold the bags, right? Did you know that growing up, or
yes,
did you learn?
Oh,
you learn it. Yeah, I think you learn it when you don't do it correctly, right? They start on fire.
That's generally how it works. Yeah. Is they watch you and then they tell you that's not right. But this is the important part of it. In a three-hour period. Now, there's still time for those in the community that want to help. If you want to bring some school-age children, or you yourself want to come out and help set these out, we're looking for some people to fold the bags, fill them with sand, put some candles in them, and we're also looking for about 100 volunteers to come out and lay out 25,000 of them in a three-hour period. Now, you don't have to. It sounds like a lot, but this is a well-oiled machine. After 41 years, you learn a few things on how to do it right.
That's true.
And so the designs will change a little bit over the years to keep it interesting and new and exciting for the kids to come through. Last year, I rode on a bus with some of the folks who didn't know who I was, and it was interesting just to sit there and watch the community.
Undercover.
Well, not intentionally.
No, but I like
just,
it.
Yeah, well, you know me, Scott. I'm shy. And a face in the crowd.
Yes, that's true. Such a wallflower. That's true.
But here's something else too. I'd like to share. Now most of the community knows this, but we want to remind everybody. It's not just a gift of the show, but the next day,
on Sunday
the 8th, if you would like to come up to the campus and help us clear it off, you can take as many as you want and display these at your own home or property, whatever you want to do.
Right.
It's a great way
free of charge.
Free of charge.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's true.
Excellent to know. Free of charge.
That's wonderful. Well, again, it's another great part of the holiday season in Farmington and San Juan County when we have the luminaries at San Juan College, always the first Saturday of December. And this year it's December 7th. Again, starts at dusk, right around 6 o'clock. And folks can drive through, or the newer than 41 years is the walk through on the display. And there's a lot of displays that you don't necessarily see when you drive through, I know. So a lot of folks spend a lot of time designing some of those other displays that you see when you walk through campus. So,
and when you walk through,
hot chocolate.
Yeah, I failed to mention that. As you walk through, there's going to be hot chocolate and snacks available for everyone. It really is one of the best Christmas traditions that I've come across in my more than 41 years.
There you go. And if I could put a plug in for KSJE, we're always proud to present the soundtrack for the evening.
Yes,
the music, holiday music from all of our show hosts here, and a variety of Christmas and holiday theme music. So we're pleased to be able to do that every year for the luminarias. Basically, we run it from like 6 to midnight, but I know the display is open, closed a little bit earlier than the midnight, but it's a great time. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, if people are wanting to get in, we're not going to close the gate.
Yes,
so
they can still come through.
But try and be early.
That's right.
And then at what time can they start picking up the bags?
3 o'clock the next day.
On Sunday.
Yes.
In the 3 o'clock in the morning, though, isn't it?
Actually, it's 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
3 a.m. is the volunteers that were setting stuff out.
There you go.
On the first Saturday. So the next day, 8 o'clock, we'll open the gates and take as many as you want on Sunday.
8 a.m. on Sunday to come and pick them up. So very good. And Dr. Evelyn, I also want to ask you a little bit about the housing discussion here at San Juan College, the student apartments. And I know that's been an ongoing conversation with Dr. Pendergrass and the board and a lot of other folks. But can you give us an update on that project for our students, future students?
Well, sure. It's going to be a great piece to include in our toolbox of attracting students to Farmington and San Juan College, and more importantly than that, to provide space so they can focus on their studies. Now, before we get into the specifics of it, we really have to give a big hand to President Pendergrass. Now, she's going to shy away from part of this, but this is not being done haphazardly. This is very strategic.
I know people have been talking about it for years and years and years, and there's been study after study, I think, too, to make sure it was strategic in how you approached it, correct?
Correct. I got to let all the heavy lifting really was done before I got here.
I know even Dr. Henderson, this was part of his vision when he was here.
Right. And that's from the very earliest days of San Juan College, really, from Dr. Mm-hmm. Henderson's time. So this has been talked about and talked about and talked about and studied. And now the things seem to be falling into place to make this a reality?
Yes. I'd like to say that, there's a thing to be said about overnight success. How long does it take to be an overnight success? Years. And so things are really coming together, I think, at a very good time. So different iterations of what we would offer, how we would offer it, where would it be offered as far as housing options. But I think we've settled on a really good winner. So we're looking right now at a space that is adjacent to the Health and Human Performance Center, which allows us to provide those activities that happen after the school day. Because people are here 24 hours a day, and so they'll need recreation. They'll need there's a snack bar in there that would be available to us, and ease of access to transit as well, because a lot of times when students are staying on campus, they don't typically have transportation, and Farmington.
And don't need it necessarily.
And don't need it because a lot of the amenities are here on campus. Now, they do want to run to the store once in a while, so they've got to be.
We'll probably have a health center in that location.
Yeah, I think, why don't you talk about that a little bit on the vision of what we're doing on that?
Because it really changes the makeup of the campus to have it as a 24/7 facility now, with people living, going to school here all the time, right?
Yes, definitely. We will have that residential component. So students will have a meal plan through Mary's Kitchen, which is certainly equipped to provide those services. And then we also want to have a health center on campus with also mental health located adjacent to that, or maybe even in the same center, so students can also have their health needs met.
Interesting. Very good.
So, and Mary's Kitchen, I may not have this number exactly right, but I believe even without housing, it was designed to handle 300 meals at a time. So 300 breakfast, 300 lunch, 300 dinner. They can create it and turn it out there. Is that correct, President Pettigrew?
I think so.
I think it was designed long term. So that's wonderful for us to not have that added expense at this time when we're trying to get housing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is it doesn't change. San Juan College isn't going to change dramatically. Other than we now have students that are going to be here all the time,
mm-hmm.
not
right.
just most of the day. And so we've got to put some services, like the president mentioned, some activities, some programming in place so that this becomes home, right? Because while they're working on their studies, they need to be able to feel supported, safe. And so we've already got those pieces here. We just don't have a bed to put them in.
Right.
Right. It's a wonderful campus.
You've got the student clubs. You've got the intramural sports. You've got
exactly
the athletic fields and all the other things maybe that a student might want to do in their off time when they're not doing their homework, of course, and going to class.
Well, but there's something to be said about that. There's a lot of stuff on there, and I'm not going to bore the audience and get into the educationalese. But students need time to pause and reflect on what they've learned. And so working with their peers, hanging out, and creating new rules and games in different athletic fields is a way that they can actually apply what they've learned in the classroom. Because what we know is that students that live on campus tend to perform at a much higher rate academically than those that do not. And what you find in there is because they don't – I'm going to share this story here. There's a roller coaster at Worlds of Fun in Kansas City. Scary. Scary roller coaster. And when you get to the front, right before you get into the car to ride the loops, there's a door right next to the stalls that says Chicken Exit. And so I use that analogy a lot, that you don't want to give students a chicken exit, right? Which means you don't want to create an inconvenience for them. Because if I'm at home and I want to go up and see or do on campus to see my advisors, I've given them an excuse. And so by having housing, they don't have that. It's right there. It's available. It's a great amenity. And so we can work with those students and keep them on task. But I think we're looking at about 150 beds. We're looking at three-bedroom, four-bedroom, suite style, meaning that each person would have their own individual bedroom, but joined to a common area. The design will be a little bit more thought on that,
mm-hmm.
Going from what was previously the 3P public-private partnership design to doing it ourselves. That's probably the biggest difference, is working with New Mexico Finance Authority.
Yes.
And possibly some other avenues of funding, but primarily through New Mexico Finance Authority. To get this started, we'll need to get a project manager, an architect, and some focus groups that are involved in there. Obviously, we'll have to get a contractor to build the thing. But all of the prep work, all of the stuff that's the environmental impact, the soil studies, everything, it's well thought out and it's done. We just, from my aspect, we just need to put shovels in the ground. But President
right.
says we got to do a little bit more.
Well, you got to find a couple funding sources, or at least one, right, from the state, which
yes,
is what you're asking for.
And we've been working really closely. Our executive vice president, Edward Desplas, has been working closely with the New Mexico Finance Authority. He actually submitted the application just a couple of weeks ago.
And so a big shout out to Executive Vice President Desplas. He is a financial wizard. And
mm-hmm.
and if I could have even just a small fraction of his ability to work those numbers as he does just in his head and a phone calculator, it's amazing to see how he can do things. But he has done a tremendous job of working at the president's direction to guide this to fruition. So it's wonderful to working with such high caliber people.
And some of the things that maybe the audience might be thinking about hearing about these plans are the demand for housing, even though it's been talked about for years and years and years. The studies that have been done seem to show that there would be a demand for a certain type of housing in a certain price point for students and potential students to San Juan College. Isn't that your target, correct?
That's correct. And so what you've got to be conscious of students that are on aid, the family's financial ability to contribute to their education, what our costs are going to be, what is available for housing, to see how we can maneuver through that. And so we want to be very mindful to provide housing that is a viable option for the community that we serve. You could build a Taj Mahal, right, and price everyone out of being available to use it. But what we've done is we've been very mindful of what is affordable and necessary for people to continue their housing. But looking at the amenities, and this is what's amazing, is with the thoughtful consideration that's been put into this, looking at initial feasibility studies on design and amenities, it's going to be nice. So we're not talking about the old concrete block walls. We're talking about a place that people want to reside and live and commune with their friends. And so it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited
about
this.
Yeah, really apartment-style living.
Right, right. Much different than maybe the dormitories that maybe some of us might recall from our college days.
Yes, I attended New Mexico State and stayed in Garcia Hall. And that was in the fall of 1989. My dad also stayed in Garcia Hall in 1956.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it's still there.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully there was a little renovation between the two of you, but maybe not that much. So how about that? But very exciting. And then I would assume this opens up some opportunities maybe for summertime when those spaces aren't filled with students, for maybe some training or some other folks to come in for certain weeks at a time maybe to get some training here at the campus.
Yes. And Dr. Appleman, can you kind of tell the audience about your experience in housing?
Well, so my entire career working in student services has been working closely or overseeing housing. At the Apex, we had roughly 1,400 bed inventory, and so we were 25% residential campus, meaning that over 25% of our population resided on campus. And so working with campus students is wonderful, and it's great, but they'll find the weaknesses in your policy, just so you know. They're fun.
Okay. You've warned us.
So, but it's absolutely wonderful. They never stop being fun. They're great regardless of age or experience. So one of the things that we're looking at, a traditional model of housing would be 16-week semesters, 3 weeks off at the holiday, and then another 16-week semester, and then you close for the summer, fix all the holes that were punched into the wall, and then continue. Mm-hmm. But that's called dormitories, and that's really changed to what we're in now is called residential life and community programming. And so we'll have a higher staff that is familiar in the theory of student development and activities, but can also, shepherd students for safety should issues come up. But the great thing is that the model we're looking at is that we would not close in a 365 period. Because of the educational opportunities that we can tailor to the students' needs through different programs, 8-week courses, short-term intercessions, executive and corporate trainings, different things along those lines, we're going to look at that in our housing options so that we can keep that occupancy continually going and work to a quick, short turnaround time. Non-competition with anything that's within Farmington, because it's geared specifically towards training, not vacationing, which is a consumer part is a whole different world than we would be looking at. So
sure.
And Dr. Forgette and the faculty and staff have worked hard to totally redesign our schedule so that it's more of a year-round.
True. There's a lot more offerings over the summer and a lot more different length of classes. I know I teach an 8-week class over the summer, and public speaking, there's another plug. But a lot of different opportunities for folks to come in and maybe even accelerate their degree programs and certificate programs.
And we want students to really finish on time, and if they can go year-round, that just helps expedite that.
That's very true. Very true. My guest this afternoon, we are interrupting our regular programming because this is our DJ for a Day event here at KSJE, and we're starting it off with the Tony and Boomer Show. Dr. Tony Hopper-Pendergrass is here, president of San Juan College, and Dr. Boomer Appleman, the vice president of student services here at San Juan College, and they're talking about some of the improvements and accomplishments here at San Juan College and events that are upcoming. We talked about luminarias and the grand opening of the new 30th Street Education Center, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks as well. We're going to take a short break in just a couple of minutes when we get up at the top of the hour for the news, but Dr. Appleman?
Before I just, I have a question. We've been on the air for a while. Do we not play commercials?
This is a non-commercial station, Dr. Appleman.
So we don't play commercials to raise money.
No, we do not.
So how do we do it? How do we keep on the air?
This is a member-supported radio station, and that's why we're doing this. And we hope that fans of the two of you will take the opportunity to go online to ksje.com/support. And sign up to become a member today. You can do it securely through PayPal, everyone, and pick the best level of financial support that fits your budget.
And Scott, how long have you had have we had KSJE? How many years?
This is our 29th year. It'll be our 30th year in 2020.
That's wonderful.
So we're
the community support.
That's right. We're looking forward to our 30th year.
So I'm looking at my phone. I just looked this up. So,
yes, sir.
So for our people out there listening that want to contribute and keep KSJE on the air, what we need to do is, and I'm on my phone and I went there, is just simply I'm going to ksje.com/support.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I go. And it looks to me, I'm going to set mine up as a reoccurring monthly donation. I think it says here you can do a one-time gift as well.
You can do that. And, of course, you being an employee of San Juan College can do payroll deduction, Dr. Appleman, if you so choose.
There's a link on there for that
as well, for both of you to check that out as well. But we appreciate it very much. And, again, there are lots of different levels of support for folks
to
explore.
And they will receive gifts with each level of support.
They will. They will get some gifts. We have some ball caps, some KSJE ball caps, a T-shirt, a polo shirt, a stainless steel water bottle. So all those different things are our thanks for supporting the station.
So I'm gonna put this on the Twitter sphere then. So I've got the link here. It's
okay.
KSJE.com/support, and that'll take everyone to where they want to go.
That'll do it.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Thank you both very much. We're going to take a short break, everyone. The news is coming up next here on KSJE. We'll be back in about 5 minutes with more of the Tony and Boomer Show. It's our DJ for a Day right here on KSJE. We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation on KSJE. Farmington. KSJE's DJ for a Day this week on KSJE to get support for this listener-supported radio station. I'm Scott Micklin, and joining me in our visual radio studios, it's the Tony and Boomer Show. Dr. Tony Hopper-Pendergrass is here, and Dr. Boomer Appleman from San Juan College, just across the hall here, basically, from our studios. Good to have you both with us.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Great to be here.
Welcome back to the second half of the program, everyone. And again, the phone lines are still open. Our Facebook page is still taking comments. If you have a question for either one of our hosts who are here with me this afternoon, or you can give us a call at 505-566-3909. That's 5-9-566-3909. That is the phone number if you want to give us a call. But we've been talking about some of the events and things that are happening here at San Juan College. Talked a bit about student housing that is coming. And the other thing I want to ask you all about is San Juan College High School. And Dr. Pendergrass, I know this is one of your accomplishments. And you've been working, I know, with the superintendents in San Juan County to make this really a cooperative effort to provide a high school for students from throughout the county that want to really focus on academics.
Yes, Scott, it's been a wonderful collaboration with all four school districts here in our county. And actually, in May 2020, we'll graduate our first class. So the idea of an early college high school basically is for a student to earn both a high school diploma and an associate's degree simultaneously. So they start in ninth grade, and they start out with primarily high school classes, but they take just one dual credit class that first year. And then as they become sophomores, juniors, and seniors, they start to take a higher load of dual credit classes where they earn both high school credit and college credit. And when they graduate simultaneously with a high school diploma and an associate's degree, this is all free of charge, so it saves the parents and families about $30,000 at a minimum.
Which is amazing, yeah, which is a great thing.
And what we worked out with the different school districts is that students are selected based on lottery, so you just have to live in the county to apply.
And so this means it's students from, as I mentioned, the four public school districts. It could be homeschooled students. It could be any student, right?
Right.
Any high school student.
Yes, that's correct.
And with all this stress on academics, I know that they really are keeping their nose to the grindstone, and they're performing very well grade-wise. I mean, that has been getting the attention of folks from across the state.
Yes, the Early College High School has great leadership. Don Lorette is the principal, and then he has hired just an exemplary staff and faculty, as well as our own college faculty have worked very closely with these students to ensure that they're successful. But it's been the number one ranked high school in the state every year since its inception.
And I think we have some stats to share with the audience. I know from your convocation message this past August, some of the things that you mentioned about how well these students were doing in certain grades and certain classes.
Yes, so the students had to take a high stakes test this year. And our early college high school students passed it with a 93% pass rate in algebra. The statewide pass rate was 13%. So they also, in science, they had a 94% pass rate. Statewide, it was 33%. And then lastly, in English and language arts, we had 100% pass rate, which I think is phenomenal.
Right.
And then statewide, it was about a 32% pass rate. And the students also enrolled in a class to learn how to take the ACT, which is a college entrance exam, and their first time average score was a 25. So that's very high, and they're doing wonderfully.
That's exciting. And again, Dr. Appelman, for students to be achieving these types of scores, I mean, compared to their peers across the state, has got to be pretty good stuff.
That is amazing, no matter what school you go to. But to have it located here and witness it on a daily basis with what these students are doing, it's fantastic. In my career, dual credit students, concurrent students, were generally, they'd show up on campus and they go back to their respective schools and not really be part of the campus. But one of the things we've done as this program has grown, as we've increased each class, they become a bigger percentage and portion of our student community, because we've got to remember that even though they're freshmen in high school, they're college students. And so that's something that's wonderful to think about and see their development. But again, I want to talk with it also creates some things. Oh, we didn't think about that, but what a wonderful opportunity, right? We've got students that are now approaching the junior and now senior year saying, well, can I be part of student government? Can I be an officer in a club? Can I start one? And we thought, well, why not? And so we're starting to see them engage more and more every year as we go. Their academics have been stellar from day one, haven't they, President Pendergast?
Yes, and they do a lot of service learning,
right,
and leadership,
right,
training. So they're just doing a great job. And we're really thankful to the school districts because they provide the transportation to the early college high school. And they pay for that out of their own budgets. So we really appreciate that.
Right. And again, this is one of, I'm not aware of any other one, but maybe there's a couple others of an early college high school that's using multiple school districts as kind of a cooperative effort. Normally, it's just maybe one school district offering an early college high school, but this is the first that I'm aware of multiple districts, right?
Yes, Scott. I don't know of another one in the nation.
So,
and the pass rates nationally for early college high schools, not pass rates, but the graduation rates, mm-hmm, are 95%. And so I'm really proud of that we have one here at San Juan College.
That's exciting.
In partnership with the four school districts.
That's right. And again, the first graduation of the Griffins, class of 2020, will be in May.
Yes.
So
they'll graduate on Friday and then come back on Saturday
to walk
and
again.
To walk again as a college graduate ceremony. So they'll graduate from high school one day. The very next day they'll graduate and walk away with their San Juan College diploma.
Very exciting.
So it's fantastic.
And again, there's students lining up to replace that graduating class and to keep going. It's been growing, I know, since it started, correct? A little bit.
Yes. There's definitely a lot of applicants each year.
Very exciting. Well, and it's a lottery system is how they're chosen
right.
from all the districts.
They use a random number generator.
Okay, very good. Speaking of growing, I want to ask you a little bit about enrollment, Dr. Pendergrass, because that's growing after a few years of not growing.
Yes, we're very excited. As of our census date, which is the official 12th class day where we really take the snapshot of where our enrollment is, it was up 3.5%. So we're thrilled.
And that may not sound like a lot for a lot of folks, but after years and years of flat or declining enrollment, it's certainly reason to celebrate it, which you have
yes,
been doing.
Yes, it's certainly a national and statewide trend that all community colleges primarily have had declining enrollments, but we're really thrilled that we're kind of bucking the trend this semester. And after hiring Dr. Boomer Appleman, he's helped us to really measure exactly what we're doing with respect to enrollment and recruitment and retention. So we're really happy about that.
And Dr. Appleman, again, I've heard a lot of talk about how this number maybe came to be, and that was maybe reaching out, being more personal to some of these students and trying to help them through the process of coming to college and to maybe work through some of the roadblocks that some students may have run into. Is that something that...
That's part of it.
Okay.
We've got to go back a few years.
Yeah.
Okay. This didn't just have, again, overnight successes don't just happen overnight. There was a concerted effort. And again, I have to give credit to my boss. And it's not because we're on the air. I mean, this is to walk into a situation where the strategic plan has been just meticulously followed. We did our homework. We looked at it. We aligned with people that are doing the right things nationally, best practices, making them appropriate practices for San Juan College. That was all done before I got here. So I appreciate kind words, but there was a lot of people on this campus and in this community that really worked to have our students' best interest at heart. And that best interest was helping them become the best version of who they want to be. Right? And so how many, we were part of a Pathways Initiative, Credit Pendergrass. How many schools were selected for this 2.0 version?
13.
And how many, for the listeners out there, how many community colleges are there?
1,051.
Scott, did you hear that? 13 people were selected, and this institution, under the leadership of the president and the board, and a lot of people working very hard, got us to be part of that initiative, and we stuck with it. We didn't falter, which talks to about the toughness and grit of the community, their fact that they worked together and communicated. Here's what we did at the end of the day. For our listeners out there, again, it was... We looked at every single process that we have, and we said, does this make sense? Is it easy for the student to walk away with a good sense of, yes, that makes sense, and I'm happy with the services I got? And does it help the student persist and attain the credential that they're seeking? And in doing that, we were able to reach out. Now, we made a lot of phone calls. I'm not going to negate the fact you said reaching out. We made a lot of phone calls,
right.
Let people know about services, opportunities, reintroducing people that maybe had stepped away for a while to get them back into school, but to really keep the ones that we had and let them know that they're appreciated because we believe in what they're trying to do, and we want to be here for them. And so through all that, right place at the right time, I got to be here. When the turnaround was made. But again, credit goes out to a lot of other folks. I just got to sit in the seat that counted the numbers every day.
Dr. Appleman, do you mind explaining to our listening audience where we had the major growths? So like in dual credit, transfers in?
Well, yeah, we had a lot of folks coming in, a 13% increase, I believe, on our transfers. We had a slight increase, single digits, in our first time, full time, but really in the continuing students and dual credits as well. Dual credit, I believe, you caught me off guard there. You're testing me. I got someone that it just doesn't forget anything, so it makes it tough sometimes. But I think we were looking at roughly a 20% along those lines on dual credit, 18. Did I see that right, or am I looking at a different deal?
I think so. We serve about 2,500 students annually in dual credit.
Right.
And year after year, that has continued to grow based on our relationships with the school district. So we're really pleased about that. We want students to have, that aren't part, high school students that aren't part of the early college high school, to have similar college experiences.
Right.
And at the end of the day, now again, we're just talking about credit-bearing students, students that are looking for certificate and credential there on credit rating. So we're up over 7,000. This was a census day. We had over 7,000 students being served by San Juan College in credit-based programs. But let's not forget all the work that's being done on our non-credit and corporate training side as well. And that's been some wonderful initiatives to really bolster that, to help the community in some of its initiatives as well, and the state. We can't forget that as a state agency, we're always trying to help the state achieve its goals as well. And so, again, this semester, we're serving, I want to say, 6,000 students?
Well, annually. Last year, we served 6,000. The year before, it was 7,900.
Okay.
Corporate training, continuing education students.
Right. A lot of people.
Yes.
On both sides of
that.
And didn't, Dr. Appleman, didn't we triple the amount of students that had previously transferred from another school? That's what I meant by transfer. I didn't articulate that clearly, but can you tell the growth? Tell the audience.
So what happens is that you have we look at students a couple different ways, and so this is pretty typical. You'll have people try college a couple different times, in a couple different ways. Pretty standard stuff, I think. Our listeners out there, that may sound familiar to some of their own experiences. And so what we want to do is be here for those people that want to come back. And so what we found is the president's exactly right. When we looked at that, one of our greatest areas of growth was transfer students. Now, a transfer student is just that, someone who began their career, their academic career after high school or their training at another institution, and then for whatever reason, it didn't quite work. But what they said is, you know, where I think would be home is San Juan College. And so we saw a great number of people transferring in, which you know, makes us feel good.
Tripled.
It was a tremendous growth. The president is exactly right. We're looking at tripling the number on that, and so it was fantastic. But it's certainly great to feel like people feel like we're at home for them, be recognized for that.
And related to that is, we did a survey of our students this spring, the community college survey. Student survey of engagement. And one thing that we're really proud of and that we've been trying to share with the community is 95% of the respondents would recommend San Juan College to a friend or relative. And we're just really happy with that statistic and thankful to the community for their tremendous support.
And that survey, I know, really surveyed a majority of students here. I mean, the sample size, I think, was fairly large. And so that was what I think the organizers of this survey were so impressed about, is that so many students were responding with that 95% number.
Yes, it was statistically significant based on the sample.
Right. So congratulations. And
and
again, we only have about 10 minutes remaining this afternoon. And so I want to ask you both a little bit about a couple other things, some economic development opportunities that the college is embarking on, and some that folks have heard about, maybe things that they haven't heard about, but the makerspace that is now here at San Juan College, the big idea, Dr. Pendergrass, that's been taking off, hasn't it?
Yes, it opened this spring, and we're really excited about that, and that's open to our community and our students and anyone that would like to take advantage of it. But it's just a place where people can go to create products, or if they have an idea, work with others to launch new businesses or products. And we have just a plethora of things within the makerspace, and it's called the Big Idea.
Right.
But they can print things out on 3D printers. Raytheon donated a wonderful high-tech machining tool that will create products out of, or parts out of steel.
Right.
There's plasma cutters, sewing,
lots of print signs,
fabricating, manufacturing.
Right? Yeah.
And we have people to teach you how to use that equipment. And we have some people that have started businesses based on products they've made in the makerspace. So we just welcome the community. If you want to bring nonprofits to do a project, we welcome that, or Boy Scout troops, anything like that. They've really taken hold nationwide, and we wanted to make sure we had a wonderful space. We raised about $350,000 for this makerspace, and it was due to our donors, Marion Oil and Gas, Raytheon, and grant support.
Nice. Well, and again, it's getting used a lot, I think. But there's always room for more, and that's why it's available to the community.
Yes, and through a recent economic development grant, we also are really supporting the City of Farmington's effort on outdoor recreation. So we'll be able to hire someone that can help people with patents or copyrights or anything they need to do to launch their product into the market.
So once they make it in the makerspace, they can protect it and get it into the marketplace.
Right.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just to follow along that line with President Pendergrass, when I got here, the President provided me an opportunity to work with the Farmington Convention and Visitors Bureau, which works again very closely with the city and the state, especially on outdoor recreation here in the Four Corners area. And so when there was a lot of work being done, but when I got in there to see what was actually in the makerspace. What a wonderful thing to have to a community that is gearing up to diversify as well as just go headlong into outdoor recreation. If there are entrepreneurs out there that have an idea of what they want to do and what they want to make, President Pendergrass, am I right? There's just about every tool you could find to help you develop and try and develop what's the word I'm looking for?
A prototype.
Prototyping it, developing it, refining it, a couple iterations to get out there in any front, and then go to the next level, because we also have opportunities to work with community members to develop a business plan once they've got the prototype.
Yes, and then obtain financing through our Small Business Development Center or our West Center.
Right.
And we owe a lot of gratitude to Melissa Meehan, who is the director of our Power Grant, and they funded this to a large extent. But she really benchmarked makerspaces throughout the country and worked with lots of individuals. Logan Byram as well helped us to make sure that it was outfitted properly.
Very good. Well, congratulations again. A great resource for the community. And before we run out of time, I do want to ask you about some new programs that are coming to San Juan College. Can we talk a little bit about some of those?
Yes, there's several that I'll mention, and then we'll just see what everyone wants to discuss. So we have a food hub, and this is in partnership with the City of Farmington, and we've actually hired a director of the food hub. But this allows us to diversify with respect to agriculture. So all of our local farmers and producers can essentially create a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And they can work with our major employers in the area. And so if our major employers agree, for example, that 10% of everything we buy will be locally produced, then that will create demand, and they can work together. And so, for example, if it was apples or... lettuce or whatever, and then they can secure the supply. We can secure the supply and demand, but they've provided us a facility downtown where we can have have cold storage, because that's been a barrier in the past for our local producers as far as shelf life, and then also to create value-added products. so that, for example, the easiest thing to explain is to take the raw products and make salsa or whatever. They'll have a commercial kitchen where people can do that.
Right, which is another, again, way to diversify the economy and having some of these products exported then to other markets, I suppose.
Yes, and Nappy already does a wonderful job with this, but we want to help those smaller producers as well.
Very true. And some other programs that we want to mention, Dr. Apple?
Well, a couple I'd like to mention. They're not maybe the sexiest, but they're really exciting, you know, those of us that are in enrollment management to let people know, look, here's a program available for you that can have a really great impact on their ability to earn a wage and make a living and have a career in a very short amount of time. And that's going to be our welding boot camp and our water haulers boot camp, those type of programs. Dr. Pendergrass, what's the turnaround on these particular programs?
So it's the second summer in a row that our welding professors have worked with PESCO and Workforce Solutions at the state level. So it's a 5-week welding boot camp. So when you're finished with the 5 weeks, you're highly likely to receive employment at PESCO, one of our industry partners.
Right.
And then the water hauling boot camp is also in partnership with three of our trucking providers here in town. We received a state higher education grant, but we work with Aztec Well Service, M&R Trucking, and C&J, the Nelson family. And after just 10 weeks, they're able to have employment with one of those three companies.
So these are really kind of, to me, sounds like quick turnaround training to get folks ready for the job market and apply and maybe get some jobs in the local area, jobs
yes.
that are in demand.
Nice
right?
jobs.
Right. Very good. And those are just two of many of the right. new programs that are being introduced, correct?
Right. We also introduced a surgical first assist mm-hmm. program. So this is really the right hand of the surgeon. We have surgical technicians, but they really look to that surgical first assist, and that's an advanced certificate. And we're only one of two programs in the entire Western United States. So we're thrilled to have that new program. We also developed a medical assisting program, and that is for people that are already working. We offer that in the evenings, and that's been full every time we've offered that cohort. We also work closely with New Mexico State University to develop a chemical engineering degree. Dr. Ottinger worked with Dr. Rockstraw at New Mexico State, and previously our students weren't transferring in as juniors, but now it's very seamless.
Very good.
We've also developed accelerated programs in information technology and business, and we have a cybersecurity program. And as I've stated before on the show, you know, these jobs are location neutral. So most of them you can work anywhere you'd like, and they have a 0% unemployment and they're high paying.
Nice. Get folks ready for those. Dr. Apple?
So just quickly, just to dovetail with what President Pendergrass said, these are accelerated programs to meet the needs of our students. So, you know, when you talk to the person that's in charge of recruitment and admission, you always want to listen closely and see if there's some fine print and they're not selling you snake oil. But to be honest with you, there's not. In 2 decades of working in higher education, this is the most responsive campus and community I've ever been a part of. And so I love working here. And they listen to what the employers are needing. They listen to what the wants and needs of the students are. And together they collaborate and build these programs that are high impact, short turnaround, high value, meaning cost to salary availability, makes it a great way to help those New Mexico residents make their dreams come true. And so it is a blessing to be here every day. Welcome coming to work, and the things that we're doing to try and help students be the best version of themselves. It's almost legalized theft. I still want to check. But it's great to be here. I'd almost do it for free.
Well, we know we change a lot of lives here at Salmon College, and the college has been doing that for a long time. But it's really important to stay ahead of the curve and to be responsive to the needs of the community. You're exactly right. I'm afraid we are out of time for the show, but hopefully that means you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
Good. Very good. And in the remaining minutes, I guess, again, since this is a a way for folks to help KSJE. I know both of you support the station, and we appreciate that very much. But your best pitch, maybe, for folks who would like to sign up, Dr. Appelman. I know you were on your phone a few minutes ago, and
Well, that's exactly right. So I've got a bookmark now.
Okay.
So let's get out there, because the way for you to be responsive out there listening here in listener land is to get on your phone, get on your iPad, get on your mobile device, your computer, your laptop, whatever it may be, and go to ksje.com/support. That's ksje.com/support. And you look at all the different ways you can give. That could be a reoccurring monthly donation. It could be a one-time gift. And for those of us that are listening out there, or those of you that are listening that are employees, you can even do a payroll deduction, which is what I'm going to do when we get back to the office. Wow. We'll take care of that.
There you go.
But again, ksg.com/support. President Pendergrass?
And I just want to thank everyone for their support that they've always provided to the college, and we would appreciate any help that you can provide to KSJE.
Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in to get our DJ for a Day week launched in great fashion, and we look forward to you coming back maybe next year.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you, Scott, for the great job you do.
Well, we're glad to do it, glad to be here to be able to do it and provide this community service to our community. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is our DJ for a Day kickoff show, the Tony and Boomer Show, right here on KSJE Farmington, New Mexico. Thanks for listening, everyone. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.